Hello gamers. You guys are tuned into the
DLB Network. Man, bros and brudettes, you're tuned into the DLB Network podcast.
Yeah, boy, it's time to get the show started. This is the DLB Network Gaming Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the DLB Network Podcast. I am one of your hosts from Sacramento, California, your boy DLBZ, 123Z. And always with me, your favorite in East Oakland, California, Mr. Hood Nerd.
DLB fell asleep.
I was so gone. So far gone, like Drake.
Locked out. I was texting, like, "We doing this?"
Oh man, yeah, I've been working mad overtime. They started allowing us to work an additional 4 hours, because normally they allow us to work a max of 8 hours plus two, which is a total of 10.
They added 4 hours to that, so you get 6 extra hours?
So they added 2 hours on top of it.
Oh, so you get 4 hours.
Mm-hmm, so a total of 12. And I jumped on it. Just trying to use my OT checks for my extracurricular activities instead of my regular check. But I mean, hell, with the craziness going on now, that might be some extra rainy day money just in case the zombies. Let me not make fun of it.
You don't want to end up like Rudy Gobert.
Oh man,
that's what happens when you make fun of something.
Which is crazy because I've been taking it serious from or not, you know, crazy serious, but. Just the fact that people are losing family members. I was just paying attention.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's, I mean, we might as well start off with that, because that's just what, I mean, it's everywhere. Like, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, you can't run from it. I mean, shit, we probably got it. So,
I mean, but you know what's crazy is Oakland has no known cases of cases.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you could not show symptoms and still have it, you know.
Absolutely. Shit, there ain't enough tests for everybody to get tested. That's the crazy part, is there's just not even enough tests so that you could get tested if you wanted to. So, I mean, the tests are like the freaking Popeye's chicken sandwich. Like,
this guy. Hell no. Oh shit. I wasn't expecting that. That was pretty good.
No, but shit, you really can't find
them. Shit is in high demand.
You can't find it. Like, I promise I'm not trying to be funny. I try to, you know, I feel like Kevin Hart has.
But no, it's cool. It's good to laugh in like times of crisis. Yeah. You need to alleviate the stress, because there's a lot of people out there on a serious tip, you know, that have anxiety or are paranoid. You know, my cousin has anxiety. He's like, he's been through the roof since we got wind of it. So like, absolutely. Now it's validating his anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's just like he's going crazy. So like, he's just going crazy. So anyway, so. Yeah, people out there, some people are really stressing, and you know, you have to be mindful of that. But it is good to laugh at the situation, because it just makes it, you know, it makes it take some pressure, tension off. I mean, we've never experienced anything like this.
Man.
Like, I think maybe maybe 1918 when the flu pandemic happened. I think it was 1918 or 19 something. It was early 19s. It was when the flu pandemic swept the world, you know, saying that's when we came with the flu vaccination and shit. But I think since then, we haven't had anything like that. So I don't even know. Some grandmothers haven't even experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. You know, so it's crazy.
Absolutely. And and that's why I was getting ready to say, you know, Kevin Hart had one of the perfectly titled comedy shows or stand-up shows names of all time with laughing my pain, because it's like, I mean, you have to laugh. You have to find some kind of humor in times like this, so that you don't, like you said, so that you don't go crazy.
You go crazy. Because
it's like, I remember when I went to Walmart like 2 weeks ago, and it was like everything for the most part was sparse in there. Like you couldn't find no water, you couldn't find toilet tissue, you couldn't find.
They need to do something about that, because
soap or hand sanitizer. Well, the crazy part is they are now. Like, so I went to the store literally today, and they're only allowing you to buy a maximum of 2 cases of water, pretty much two of everything.
Because that you're what you're doing it when you hoard it. You're killing it for yourself, but you're like killing it. You're like somebody else won't have it. So like, if it was some serious shit happening and you weren't able to get to the store, now you got all the water and then nobody else does. So it's like,
absolutely,
dude, just get what you can use. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's crazy. So
I'm glad, and for me, it's like, I'm not afraid or anything like that. I just am being cautious of the fact of like limiting my public interactions.
Yep.
I mean, as far as like going to the stores and stuff like that, like if I could go and stock up, I would.
I was dapping people. You know, I'm hitting people with my shoulder,
absolutely.
Forearm, kid and play, bam.
That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? For my younger listeners, I'm hitting them with my feet. You know what, kid play? Google it, YouTube it. Happy 30th anniversary to that too. House party.
Oh,
man. Side note, happy 30th anniversary, House Party. Yeah, one of the greatest like movies. Like, I don't even know what
hip hop movies.
Yeah, I guess it would be like a hip hop comedy. One of the greatest. I think it's timeless. I think a kid now can still laugh and understand what they were trying to do and what they were trying to pull
off. Absolutely, for sure.
You know, you have to look at it like the lack of technology back then. So they don't have cell phones, so shit was just different, but you still can get the vibe. That in class act, man. That in class act. But anyway,
they just had a good run of some movies, because class act, that was my movie too.
Shit, even House Party 3 was good. 2 and 3. 2 was one of my favorites. I'm still throwing a pajama jammy jam one of these days.
Man. Them parties were so lit.
You know what it is though? Because in the 90s and the 80s, people danced. So, like, you went to the party to, like, party. But now...
And not to be seen.
But a party now is just like it's a vibe. It's just like you might have one person dancing.
Which
everybody else
sound crazy.
Chilling, like, leaned up against the wall, you know what I'm saying? Even like, our generation, late 90s, early 2000s, we still kind of went out to dance. Like, you went out to, like, party. It started tapering off, though, because I remember the taper off. I remember when it got kind of corny to dance at a party. I remember it because I remember being somewhere and I was like, damn, like, ain't nobody moving. It made me feel like, oh, well, shit, I guess I'm just going to, like, you know what I'm saying? I guess you got to just blend in whatever. Like, you can't be the only motherfucker out there talking about, what's up, girl? You want to dance? And then kind of like, ugh, get away. Where your bottle at? And that's what it transitioned into. Like, if you go to the club, nobody really dances on the dance floor. Like, nobody.
My bottle is at home, motherfucker, with my pacifier.
It'd be a bunch of dudes in a VIP section rapping to the lyrics of a song, holding a bottle. That's all it is now.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's actually hella boring.
That sounds hella gay to me. I'm not about to be around a bunch of dudes when there's hella females up in here.
Oh no, that comes for sure. But what I'm saying is the what.
No offense to anybody that's gay, but
you know, but like that's it. That's what it is now. But yeah, it's definitely women there for sure. But like usually it's just a bunch of people, a bunch of dudes standing in VIP, rapping the song, drinking liquor. You literally standing for hours, just standing and listening to music.
Just unless passing the coronavirus around to one another. Hey, take it.
Well, yeah, now probably. Yeah. But yeah,
yeah, that's anyway, the crazy part. Like, so what's going on with the club? I wonder. I mean, I have no.
Well,
clue
they can't.
The club
they can't
looking like these days. But
they can't be a club scene because they're.
Well,
it
could be 249.
I mean, that's a bar. If anything, that's a bar. Like you could go to a bar.
That's
you can't.
Funny.
So bars is gonna pop. Because people still gonna want to go out, so people are gonna go to bars, but you can't have clubs.
I just wonder what that
how you gonna have a club and the max capacity is 250. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's crazy.
What?
But yeah, so like looking, like, so to bring it into, you know, these consoles, do we see them this year? Like, is that still a thing? Like, because I know AMD came out, you know, saying that, you know, it's still going to be a thing, but it wasn't as bad as it is now. It wasn't even listed. They weren't even talking about it being a pandemic at that moment in time. Like, now it's like, yo.
Well, it's not even a national emergency in our country, but whatever.
Right. Well, yeah. Look at who our damn president
is. Story for another day.
Yeah. So, I mean, your personal opinion, do you think we see him now?
I think it depends. And I think it just depends on I think it just depends on what this month does. Because a lot of things I see, like, they're taking a month off, which is good. I think that'll help slow down the spread of it. Because, you know, you got to look at all these sporting events. That's a lot of people going to a lot of things. And, like, all these music festivals, right? Coachella got moved to October. South by Southwest and Ultra got canceled. They didn't even get moved. I think they just got canceled, and they're not giving refunds for those. So that sucks.
Yeah, that's great. That is crazy as hell to me.
But it's in their clause though. You got to read the contract.
Yeah,
it says even an act of God. It's like, so basically, you ain't getting your money back if the Lord returns.
that's so funny,
even if Jesus and God come back, it don't even matter, bro. You're not getting no money back. That's hilarious. But yeah, like all these festivals, the tournaments, you know, the men's and women's basketball tournament, XFL, NHL, a couple of soccer leagues, I think. My little local semi-pro league canceled. The fucking MLS is done.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And that's a lot of people you keeping out of these venues who could spread it.
Absolutely.
So I forgot the percentage, but it was like one person can transmit. I forgot how many people can get you know what I'm saying? So like in a radius or whatever. So it's crazy though. But yeah, that's going to keep people. Hopefully they can come out with some kind of vaccine. I know no time soon. This ain't going to be over, but if we can limit it, we can definitely try to control it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
speaking of everything that's being canceled, on Twitter, @ChunkyBoyKilo hit us up and he said, "Got to talk about this on the podcast when the official announcement happens," and that's E3. So at the time that he tweeted me this, E3 hadn't gave official word yet, but it is official that E3 is canceled.
It was about to be canceled anyway. So,
so here's my take on
the Roni. E3, the Roni, right? Just helped it out.
You know, hey,
the Roni was just like, "Nah, bro, it's cool. We'll just give you a swift death. Don't worry about it."
I think what E3 is going to end up being good for is because so the thing is like when it comes to console announcements and stuff like that, it may not be a thing for that anymore. But I think for it to be like a convention where you could come and check out the latest and greatest video games that are going to drop in the fall, I think it can still be good for things of that nature. But I think that E3 just has to get ready for like the transition, because I still feel that there's entities that still need E3, like Sony doesn't, like Microsoft doesn't, Nintendo doesn't, because they have their core fan base, and when they say they're one of those companies that when they say anything, it's gonna shift social media and the news is gonna spread like wildfire. I feel like there are like indie devs that don't have that type of power. There are even some third-party devs that don't have that type of power that can say something and it just alters social media to where everybody's paying attention to it, where a hashtag just starts to trend. So I still feel like there are certain companies that still can use something like an E3, like even because I don't feel like PAX. I don't feel like any of the PAX is as big as
you're forgetting about E3. You're forgetting about Gamescom though.
So that's like Gamescom definitely is still a thing, but when I look at Gamescom, it's like I feel like every country kind of has their big event. So I feel like E3 is America's, Gamescom is Europe's, Tokyo Game Show is Japan's. So I feel like every country kind of has their big event. So that's why I feel like E3 can still be relevant. It just won't be like what it once was. But I still feel like it could still hold its weight, you know, here in the States. Like I said, if they play their cards right. You know, Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo may not be there anymore, but it could still be huge for, you know, third-party developers, indie studios, and things like that. So I think it could still hold its own. It's just that, you know, they just have to show us something. Because if E3 would have still, like, let's say the coronavirus wasn't a thing, and it still would have happened. Like, I still would have been paying. Like, even if Microsoft wasn't there, I still would have been paying attention.
Yeah, you're going to pay attention. You're a gamer. You're going to pay attention. That's not – we're going to pay attention. But it is fading in how publishers, for sure, developers
most
see it.
Definitely.
So
yeah, most
they
definitely.
Don't, if they're, they lost the two biggest – you know, two of the biggest in a game, I don't think they keep the doors open, and especially after what happened last year with the leaks of all the people's emails. I just think that was the nail in the coffin. It was like, people, who's going to want? I mean, Jeff Keighley wasn't going. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they like, no, I'm not giving you my information. It's bad, ESA. It's over. Like, yeah, I just think it's over. I think it came back. It was strong. It came back. It fell off a little bit. It came back strong. And it just, like, I think they just taped again. I don't know who's in charge of it, but it just went bad. And you can start seeing it.
I'm sure it's like older white males. They definitely, a lot of these organizations definitely need to get more youthful. I will say that. So, because it's like, you guys aren't in control of the cool. Like, even if it was somebody like me, like, I would still look for answers from the younger gaming community.
Yeah, but the cool ain't, they about the money. They ain't fuck the cool. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but and that's the thing, and that's going to be their downfall, because that cool is going to bring the money.
Oh, 100%. Listen, I get it, but
yeah,
they don't.
For sure.
And this is a constant, though. This isn't like something this happens in history all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, people don't know when to pass it on. You know what I'm saying? Or get the right people to help you make it doper. You know what I'm saying? Or make something cooler. Like, have the people around here. You know what I'm saying? The constant youth, that energy. I mean, you see it in music. The best artists always keep the cooler, younger, hipper, or whatever's in around them, because it keeps them in the know. You know
absolutely
what I'm saying? And it keeps them like, oh, this is what's bopping now, okay, or this is what's going, you know what I'm saying, this is the type, this is the music, this is the wave we're on. So yeah,
absolutely.
But, you know, RIP to E3, RIP to Disneyland, Universal Studios, all the Disney parks around the world.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I swear, as the days progress, I just get more and more shocked. I'm like, yo, this is, movies getting postponed. Like,
I'm gonna
let you know, 2021, if everybody is just to push their movies back to 2021, and then the movies that were still supposed to come out in 2021 come out, it's gonna be a lit ass year for movies.
It's not. They wouldn't do that. I mean, a lot of these movies,
a lit ass year.
I look at it like this: a lot of these movies are still gonna come out this year. I just think they kind of have to, because if they don't, a lot of these, especially these franchises, you know, they're gonna have to push back their whole phases. You know what I'm saying? So I think they might get pushed back a couple months, like Bond did. You know, Bond got pushed back to November instead of April, which I'm disappointed about. But, yeah, I think they'll just...
People about to be going to the movies. All my black people are going to feel this. People are going to be going to the movies with plastic covering up the chairs, like your grandma's house.
I mean, that ain't going... You got to cover yourself in plastic. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that, what do you mean? Like, because even if you covered a chair in plastic, what if the person next to you got something?
Absolutely. That's,
or the person above you, or below you, or 10 rows up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
It's not that, it's not like, yeah, but it's going to be crazy. But I mean, the less people out, the better. I mean, the less chance of people like that having, you know, being around. So I don't know.
That is true as well.
We probably all got this shit like The Walking Dead, so it don't matter.
keeping it on Twitter, we got a tweet from Chase at Chase167. He said, I agree with it. So this goes back to our last podcast. He said, I agree with Hood. I'm with generational gaming. A console, I think a console should have games only exclusive for that next gen console. If you can't afford a next gen console, trade in all your shit.
Wow, I didn't say that, but I respect it. I respect it.
He was talking about how pretty much how Microsoft is going to have dual exclusive games for both the old Xbox and the new one. The more and more I think about stuff, this generation is going to be one of the most interesting launches of all time, excluding the coronavirus. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting launches of all time because I'm curious how many people will feel that they have to buy a console within the first year of them coming out.
I think it depends on the experience. So I really feel like it's going to just depend on the experience. Like, so the way Microsoft's doing it, maybe if you're like, oh, if they do it right to where like they show off, this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like on this console. But it's going to look way, you know, it's going to look, you like, they have to emphasize like, no, this is powerful. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, no, this, it's a different experience over here. Yeah, you could play it over there if you cool with that. But if you want to play it over here, it's where you and PC people, you got, this is where you want to play it. They have to do that. Where I feel like Sony doesn't have to do that because all they're going to do is go, here's what we got whenever they do it, right? So, like, where here's what we're showing. Like, this is a teaser for God of War, or here's a game that you already know. Here's, we'll just use Cyberpunk, for instance, even though that would probably get shown off at the Microsoft show. But let's just use them, for instance. Here's what Cyberpunk looks like running at on a PS4 or PS5 or Microsoft Xbox One X, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have that. Well, Sony wouldn't say that, but you know what I'm saying?
I got you, yeah.
Like, they'll show off a title, or even if they might show off Spider-Man, right? Or they might show off a game, like, they might show off a game that people are playing, like, oh, Ghost of Tsushima or The Last of Us 2. So they'll show, like, here's what The Last of Us 2 is going to look like on PS5, running on, you know, a patch or whatever. And this is what it looks like now. And look what we've added to it. So they get people like, oh, shit, this looks great. Or they might show off, like, factions, right? Since The Last of Us 2 is already going to be out, they might show off, here's the multiplayer version of The Last of Us, free-to-play. It's going to be on PC and fucking console and blah, 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 however they do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they show that off, and they show it running on PS4, but then they also show it running on a high-end PC or a PS5. And then you, like, boom. And that's a good indication, like, oh, shit, that looks better than the fucking Last of Us we're playing right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they can go, boom, we got more games. So we got new titles, this new exclusive from Devolver Digital, or this new thing from this company, or this new thing from this people. And then, like, a trailer, like a teaser of Horizon or something, and maybe, like, the voice of Kratos in, like, a trailer. And then, like, people going to go crazy.
Yeah, and that can definitely sell people on getting the new hardware.
It's Spider-Man. You sure got Spider-Man.
Because the one of the main things that makes me wonder how fast or if people are going to upgrade quickly to the new consoles is we've never had like a living, breathing generation like this generation as far as like these games go, these
live services.
Yeah, these live services. It's crazy because these games are still growing. They're still polishing them. Yeah. They're still like it's crazy. Like I remember, it's crazy. I remember when Fortnite first came out, and I was at work and I hit up Silver and I was like, "Yo, you should download the battle, because he had he already owned the single player version of Fortnite, and I wasn't really feeling the single player version, so I never ended up getting it. I was excited for it when they first announced it because it looked cool, and then as it got closer to launch, I wasn't really feeling it no more, so I didn't buy it. But he still bought it. But then they came out with the battle royale, and at that time, PUBG was like the only super popular battle royale game, and I was like super wanting to play PUBG, and they were like, Fortnite's came out, it's free to play, blah 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 blah. So I hit him up and told him to download it. I was like, yo, this sounds like it's super dope, and it looked interesting at that time. It didn't look horrible or bad, but just to see what it first looked like when it came out, and to see like where it is now, it's like all that came from these fools constantly working on it, improving it, updating the maps, and so on and so forth. And that game just looks crazy if you have a 4K HDR television. Like that game, just the vivid colors and the contrast, that game just looks really good. So, and it's just or even a game like Rainbow Six, like that game has been living for so long, and that's just because these developers continue to work on it and improvement and add new things to it. And it's like with stuff like that, I wonder if that's going to slow down the pace of people upgrading. Or, I mean, hell, look at freaking GTA Online. GTA was able to last a whole generation without a new GTA because they kept GTA Online just feeling fresh and new. And still to this day, they're still adding more vehicles and guns and clothes and just content to it. So it's just like it just never really gets old. It's like now the visuals are starting to look a little dated because that's probably the area that they don't actually improve. But if they did, like even so, I'm curious if stuff like that is going to slow down people from upgrading to being like, you know what, this is still good enough until these next gen prices come down. Because that's another thing. It's like, how much are these things going to cost? Like, we all feel that they're not going to sell them for higher than $4.99, but I'm really starting to second guess that. Like, are these fools going to try and sell their high-end one at $5.99 and then the low-end one at $3.99? Like, or is Sony coming out with the low-end one? Because now some of these specs are starting to make me wonder, like, well, maybe they have all these different specs because they have different versions of the next generation of consoles. Maybe they have two consoles coming out, which I wouldn't be shocked because, I mean, at least for Microsoft, because they're the only ones that we actually have confirmed numbers on. And there's just been rumors for the longest that they were coming out with two consoles. It's like the specs that are in the Series X, I mean, it sounds like that thing is going to be pretty expensive, or they're just going to be taking a nice chunk of a loss if they are going to sell it at $4.99. The last podcast, we were asking people to hit us with their predictions on what they felt, or how they, you know, their predictions on the consoles and how they felt it was going to launch and things of that nature. So we got a tweet from at Mr. Wise 1723. He said he predict that the PS5 will be introduced in mid-November. I think he meant released in mid-November. The Xbox.
He said revealed?
Yeah, he said introduced, but I'm sure he meant launch.
Oh, okay, you meant yeah. But I mean, shit, who knows? Maybe.
I mean, with the shit going on now, right? Shit,
yeah, maybe. Shit.
Yeah, they're going to talk about it mid-November. It comes out spring of next year.
The old Coroni, the Roni, is pushing shit back, so maybe
you might be on to something, baby. But yeah, you predict that the PS5 will be introduced in mid-November, Xbox will be released prior in October, roughly late October. Price would be $3.99 for both. One thing I predict though is PlayStation will have about 50 updates before stable after release.
That's funny
when you don't pre-read something, so you catch it in the middle of reading it. This was he said, one thing I predict though is PlayStation will have about 50 of these before it's stable after release. That's crazy. But that is crazy, though, is that there is going to be, hopefully it'll be quick, but there is going to be a day one patch for the console. Then there's going to be day one patches for whatever games you get. So,
yeah, that's protocol now.
Yeah, man. So hopefully those patches are quick. Because, you know, who knows based on how many people have a PlayStation, is that going to bog down their server, so on and so forth. So I really didn't think about that until I just saw this. So
I actually think it's going to be really fast. What?
I really hope so. I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the main things I look forward to, because I got this fast-ass connection, and I really can't do shit with it
I really until think Sony updates
those numbers.
You want to predict how fast it's going to take?
From
opening your box to having it all hooked up. So let's say you got it hooked up. Mm-hmm. You got it hooked up. You press the button. So from pressing power for the very first time to actually booting a title, how long do you think it's gonna take?
Are we talking about downloading the titles day one update as well?
Sure. I said from booting a title. From booting a title. Okay. Like, to where it's fully patched, it's fully everything, is whatever it is, that's what it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? 50 gig patch, whatever it is.
Oh, like, shit.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It might, I mean, Call of Duty throwing them shits out like candy.
My God.
Call of Duty has to have the worst fucking, this is one of the worst, I don't know. This Modern Warfare has one of the worst, like, I don't know. It's just bad. The download, the way they did the downloads this time is so bad. Bad, 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 bad. But yeah, so let's say power button or controller press with no power button, because you're going to have to probably hook the controller up, wire it to get the connection. So anyway, yeah. So power button to actually sit in your ass in your chair, on your bed, or on your couch, or on the floor to actually play in a game and seeing the visuals.
And we're talking about, as long as there's no hiccups and stuff like that, everybody ain't downloading the patch at one time.
It's gonna be hella people downloading.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's gonna be hella people hitting.
But
their
let's we not let's not no, let's throw out the let's throw out all that. Let's
okay.
Okay. What if the servers don't get hit?
So based off of what they're saying, and I'm gonna say it based on my internet connection, because I have a gigabit internet connection, and so, you know, I'm assuming they've updated their servers to be able to pull from quicker than what they are now. That is, so for people who, because there's funny enough, there's a lot of people that don't know this. And this isn't something exclusive to Sony, Microsoft, Steam, Apple, they all have a throttle. And that is like how fast they'll allow you to pull from their server, which, I mean, download something from their server. Of all of them, Apple is the fastest. But the fastest I've seen me be able to pull or download from Sony servers is roughly around about 200 to 300 megabytes a second. That's been rare cases. For the most part, though, it's been anywhere between 150 to 200 megabytes a second that it allowed me to pull from. Hopefully they allow it to be a lot quicker than that, and then I'd be able to freaking download those games in a blast. So I'm going to say roughly around about 5 to 10 minutes for me turning it on and booting into a game. The way they're talking about their hard drive, I'm going to say 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll say five minutes. That's not bad. You know, and I would probably say max 15.
Based off of what they're saying about how fast everything is.
And I'm saying,
because also what's going to help the download speeds is the write speed of the hard drive, and them saying 100%. That hard drive can write faster, so that means I'm downloading fast, is writing it to the hard drive fast, so that that should be a quick experience. So based off of what Sony has been saying about their custom hard drive, I'm going to say 5 minutes from the time I turn it on and it gives me its little intro situation. Because the thing is, I know the first thing that the console is going to have you do is set some shit up, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously.
So then I'll go to 15.
That usually doesn't take very long. I mean, think about what it's going to be. It's probably going to be depending on, you know, it's going to have like, oh, clock settings, automatic or whatever, your Wi-Fi. Are you hardline, you know,
your PSN
all that
ID.
Stuff. PSN ID, you know, and then, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, I don't, yeah. 5 minutes seems feasible. Like,
but I could see your 15 too when you talk about the setup process of, cause I forgot about signing into
sure,
your PSN
ID and
stuff like
that. Sure, and we don't
even
know what other features, we don't know some of the other features that the console might have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it might have some features where we have to do some kind of other setup, you know,
right.
Like, so like, we don't know, you know what I'm saying? It could be a new camera or something. We don't know. It could be a bunch of new things that we'd have to set up.
But, you know, but if it was like ignoring all of that, so from, so, and I may probably even test it to where I'll set everything up. And then once it gets to the point of start downloading patch, like start
oh, yeah,
the
we
time
could,
from there.
We could do a video. We could set up a camera in a specific spot, and then we just, you know, we record it, and then we could splice it together. We could, you know, half it to where we got the time synced.
So, and I'm sure it's going to support Wi-Fi 6. It would be smart. So,
yeah. I would think that I think everything's just gonna be fast. So I can see 5 minutes being like a super quick setup. Like,
that would be freaking amazing, bro. That'd be amazing. But it all depends on that day one patch.
I do like the 10 to 15, and I do like the 10 to 15. And that's not even that long though. Like that's
when you're thinking about having to sign into your PSN ID and all that. That's not that long at all to get everything set up.
15 minutes. 15 minutes compared to what we had to do last time.
Hmm.
No, and last time we weren't complaining then. It was like some people had issues, but some people didn't, and I didn't really have issues. I had issues because I could barely remember,
to be quite honest.
My TV, I remember my TV was older, so the HDMI, it didn't like the HDMI, so I had to like trick it. I had to like really get it. I had to like reset it hell of times to get it to work, and it finally popped on. But yeah, patching, all that stuff was... It took a while, but it didn't take a while. It wasn't like it was like crazy. Like I was playing a game fairly. I think it was Call of Duty or something. Ghost.
Yeah, the smart thing to do might be to go to Sony's support site and download the update to a flash drive and just do it directly from the flash drive. I would assume that might be quicker because you won't be pulling from the server like the millions of other people will be doing on day one. So that could be an option for people.
If they have the day one patch on there.
Oh, you know it's going to have a day one patch.
Well, no, I'm saying if they have that on the support side.
Oh, no, they will because I day one, I put in a new hard drive. So, and you have to have the OS, you have to have the day one patch and OS and all that stuff on a USB drive in order to get it working.
Yeah, but you're not doing that this time, though.
Well, it depends if they're going to have... Well, yeah, you won't be because they're going to have their custom hard drives. So, well, I'm hoping that they have external custom hard drives, even if they're hella expensive, which I'm pretty sure they will. Even if they're hella expensive, though, I hope they allow you to buy something bigger than what they're going to put in there, because if they put a terabyte in there, I'm already knowing what's up. So, I downloads the games, and I'm going to be wanting some of my older games too, you know, because we all know how launch is when it comes to games. Like, launches are always pretty sparse, so I'm going to definitely want some of my PS4 games on there to play. So, but going to the next question on Twitter, prediction, is from our boy at Chase167, Mr. 5 PS4s, balling out of control. He says, "What's up?" He said, "What's good, Playboys? It's Chase167. Here's those predictions. Number one, Sony will announce the PlayStation 5 the last week in March. Okay. It will definitely cost $499. All right. November 6th will be the release date. Hard drive size, 1 terabyte. Keep up the good work." Let's look that up. What day is November 6th. I'm pulling up my calendar right now. November 6th is
a Friday.
Oh, that is a Friday. Could you see it launching on a Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that too. Because that's typically the day. It's so funny how everything transitioned from Tuesday to Friday.
Because digital.
Yeah.
Digital. You don't have to have, it doesn't have to go by the old rules no more.
I think it's better anyway, personally, because it's like now you have the weekend to enjoy it instead of buying it on Tuesday. Buying it on Tuesday and then, having to take time off work. It's like buy it on Friday, then you have the weekend to enjoy it and play with it. But that's a solid prediction, November 6th. I could see that one. And then $499. You think these consoles are going to be $499?
Yeah, I mean that was already my no. I don't think there'll be more. I think $499 is the spot.
You don't think so?
No.
With everything that they're adding to these things,
nope.
HDMI 2.1, true 4K gaming now, 120 Hz. These customized hard drives, custom CPU and GPU. Because I put together the closest, because again we can only go off of Microsoft. I put together the closest specs to what Microsoft is offering for if I did a PC build, and without the case, the power supply, and there was one other thing I wasn't including. Like that bad boy came close to $700 to $800 some.
Yeah, but you're also factoring in your consumer buying
these parts. Buying it wholesale.
Yeah.
Sorry, so not wholesale, but buying it at manufacturer cost, not at wholesale.
Yeah, they get it, and they get also getting the bulk price too. So they're getting it because they're buying millions of parts for each of those things, so they probably getting a crazy
I can't wait till it comes out so we can figure out, because I'm really curious, because I'm a gamer, I love video games, but I also love the business side of video games, and I'm curious to see like what the cost is on this stuff. I just really want to know, because a lot of stuff that they're bringing like isn't even they're like, this is the first time since the I want to say the PlayStation 2 that the console is going to be doing things and have features that the PC community doesn't even have yet. Now, for those of you that are PC gamers, I am as well. HDMI 2.1 still is not a thing yet. There's no graphics card that you can buy right now that has HDMI 2.1. NVIDIA will be launching one later this year. Still, though, at this point in time, there is like they're going to have either features that because there's no graphics card that is pushing what Microsoft's graphics card is pushing yet. Like that's the last time something like this has happened, I want to say, was the PlayStation 2, because polygons on PC at that time, like, you didn't see too many games that were built like that. And then the ones that were like few and far in between. And then when the PlayStation 2 came out, like that was the last time that the game industry was kind of leading the way when it comes to PCs. And this is like the second time I can ever recall that happening. If I'm wrong and anybody remembers, please correct me at DLB23 on Twitter. So it's pretty impressive, the hardware, and I keep referring to Microsoft because, again, they're the only ones that have confirmed their specs. That's pretty damn impressive. That's why it just makes me wonder, like, are they about to take one hell of a loss? or is the high-end console going to be like the $599? Like, would you, if the PlayStation comes out at $599, like, would you pay it? I mean, I'm guessing you would, because you want the next console. I mean, shit, we did it with the PlayStation 3.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Would you He like, nigga, yeah.
I mean, I'm in a different situation. I mean, yeah, I'm fully aware this is an
expensive okay. What hobby. What's the price point where you like? Okay, y'all tripping.
$5.99 is really close to that.
That's funny.
$5.99 is like
that's good. That's a good one.
I got it, but. Do I need it, bro?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. It was hard for me to let go of that cash with a PlayStation 3 at that
time.
That's
what I'm saying. Well, at that time, I was doing pretty good, so I wasn't tripping. But it still was a lot of bread, though.
Yeah,
because you gotta think I bought another controller,
mm-hmm.
and I had quite a few games. Yeah, mm-hmm. I bought quite a few games, so that was an expensive day. For sure.
Yeah. For sure.
And I think I read up and like didn't buy something launch and then like read a review or something like a couple of days later went back and bought another game or something. I can't remember what game it was, but I was like, yeah, I spent hella money for that PS3.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I was tripping.
Man, yeah.
Just play my Xbox 360 and been cool.
That is funny. Yeah, that was definitely a day in gaming history, boy. Because when I went to go buy that, I was like, because I knew I wanted, like, I had been waiting for it. I was excited for it, but but that's always been a thing for me. It's always hard for me to let go of money from time to time. But, man, yeah, that was incredible. That was a lot of money to be letting go. That's the most I've ever paid in my lifetime, day one on a console. But the last time we dropped the episode was February 22nd. So at that time, Microsoft hadn't came out and announced their specs, or what we'll say, Phil Spencer. So, let's talk about that. So Phil Spencer. A ton of details on the next Xbox or on the Xbox Series X. Are you going to buy a Series X? Is that a thing for you or no? Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. I don't know. Yeah, probably. It's a lot of unknown for me and I need to know more. Just on the gaming side, if you know what I'm saying.
And when I say that, there's people that I know that are like us who own both or multiple consoles. I'll say multiple because we own more than just those two. But there's a few people that I know that own multiple consoles and they don't know what direction they're going to go yet. If they're going to go and buy both, or if they're going to just buy one and then buy the other at a later time. But, and even with me, because I have a PC, I'm still kind of on the fence. I'm like, do I need it? Like, I don't because I have a PC, but just the nerd in me is like, I don't know. I still haven't even figured it out yet. But nonetheless, Phil Spencer came out and he dropped some details on the Xbox One. He said it's going to be 12 teraflops, support variable refresh rates, variable rate shading, hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing, quick resume for multiple games, and smart delivery. Now, I don't know why they named it Smart Delivery.
You're asking this from a company to name their console the Xbox.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
They don't do well with names.
Yeah.
They named their first console the Xbox One, or their third console the Xbox One.
Yeah.
naming isn't their strong suit.
Yeah. I figure the reason they didn't go with crossplay is because Sony's already used that. So that's why I was assuming they didn't go that route. But smart out of everything that they announced, smart delivery and quick resume. I mean, everything that they announced was exciting to me. But quick resume, because of the fact that you can resume multiple games, like, I think that's going to be dope. Just from the standpoint of if I jump on and let's say I want to play Call of Duty with you, but you're already in the middle of a match. So I load up Call of Duty and then I'm like, okay, you know, just send me an invite when you're done. And while you're playing Call of Duty and I've loaded Call of Duty, then I turn around and I load like NBA 2K and start playing my season. And then in the middle of me playing my season, you hit me and you're like, all right, I'm ready. And then I'm like, cool. Because I've already started Call of Duty, I'm just boom, instantly, just instantly right there, ready to go. And then if you're like, hold on, let me go get my food or something, or let me go use the restroom, I'm like, okay, cool. Then boom, I pop back over to NBA 2K and start playing, you know, some more of my season or what have you. So, like, I think that is going to be like a feature that changes the game. I think that's super dope. That was something that I wasn't even thinking about as a feature. But I think that one is definitely going to be, that's going to be a nice feature. That's definitely going to be pretty nice. Now, what they did not say is how many games can do this. But what makes that feature even doper is I listened to Major Nelson's podcast. I can't remember what episode it is, but if you guys go and look at the list of his podcasts, it's the podcast that's 20 minutes long. He sits down with one of the engineers that's working on the Xbox Series X, and he was talking about how this is Major Nelson. He was talking about how he was playing the Series X at work, and it needed an update. The system, not the game, but the system needed an update. And when the system rebooted, he was still able to resume where he was at in the game. Like, he didn't have to start the game over or nothing like that. He was just able to resume where he was at. And that's incredible. Because you can't even do that on, like, a PC or nothing like that. You still got to go load your application again and get back into or load your game again. So I thought that was incredible. So, That's a pretty sick feature. But one of my questions for that, though, is how many games will you be allowed to do that in? The fact that you could do it in two is going to be sick for me, because, like I said, that scenario that I just used today in the demonstration, as like, that happens a lot when I jump online and want to game with some people, but they're already in a game of Battle Royale or whatever it is. Or if you're waiting on people to either come online or load up or whatever, like, I'm still able to game playing something else. And now that makes consoles like more of a quick burst gaming option before you leave the house or do whatever. Like, now with them being so fast, like, you can jump in for a quick 10 to 15 or 30 minutes of gameplay, because when you turn it on, you're going to be right where you left off. But here's my question, though, with that resume feature, because we have pretty much quick resume now on these consoles. But if you're playing a game like The Division, NBA 2K, Destiny, any of these, mostly all of these games are connected to a server. Even if it's a single player game, like, even if I'm playing my 2K season, I'm connected to a server. Like, so when I come back in, it'll tell me server connection timed out, blah, 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 blah. Now, it is quicker than me having to load the game all over again if I wasn't already in the game. But still, you come into these games and it tells you you're no longer connected to the server. So now you got to load back in. You have to connect to the server again and load back to the position that you were at. I'm really curious if quick resume is going to be better this generation. Do you feel what I'm saying, Tay? Do you have those experiences?
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen. And I'm looking at it from a server standpoint. Just imagine having every console mm-hmm. constantly on a server at all times. I just don't think from a server standpoint, these live server, these games, these always on games. So the Destinies, the Divisions, the
PUBG,
another game that's always on.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, but you're not really always on. You're not always on like with PUBG. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess because you can be in a lobby. But I'm talking about games persistent games. Like Destiny's persistent, Division, Anthem, what, you know, was supposed to be persistent. Those type of games. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about, like, let's use Destiny, for instance. You're in Destiny and you quit out. And then when you come back, the game kicks you out because you got kicked off the server. And then you have to load again. So I think maybe the loading to get back to the pinging the server might be faster. You know, we'll have to go through the whole process of authenticating. Maybe it'll be faster, but like you're still going to have to get kicked off the server. It's just imagine
what you're saying makes
everybody
a lot of sense,
or all
for sure.
People that play that game just sitting on the server. So I just think logistically that'll never happen because you'd have to like have maybe like a.
I guess the beautiful thing now is just that these consoles are going to be hella quicker. Because let me tell you something, Division takes a long time to load into.
Sure, and we won't have those problems. So you're talking about like actual loading assets. That'll be faster. So the internet pinging thing will probably be the longest part, but that's not even going to be that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't think it's going to be like this gen where,
praise
you know,
the Lord.
It was based on connection. Yeah, so I think it's going to be a lot better this generation.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. Another thing that they talked about was supporting HDMI 2.1. Okay, so let me break this down for people because I know a lot of people don't understand the different versions of HDMI. So HDMI 2.1 is the new standard, it's about to be the new standard. HDMI 2.1 does is it opens the bandwidth. I want to say right now the current bandwidth is like 18 gigabytes of data a second. And then HDMI 2.1 allows like 49 gigabytes of data per second through the HDMI cables. And what that allows for is like 4K at 120 frames per second.
More data can pass through
your
line to your television. So it can have more data can go back and forth between the TV to the console or to devices.
And it also adds for lower latency and variable refresh rates, which would be like from 30 to 60 to 100 to 120. So I look forward to seeing games on a console running at 120 frames per second. Now, granted, you have to have a TV that also supports HDMI 2.1. Or you can have a monitor. There's a lot of monitors I take that back. There aren't a lot of monitors that support HDMI 2.1. They support DisplayPort. But nonetheless, there are most of your newer TVs that are coming out support HDMI 2.1. One of the first is LG. They're on top of that. And I want to say Samsung is the other one. Vizio. And I think there's one other entity that's bringing out HDMI 2.1 this year. But, you know, just do your Googles and just type in TVs that support HDMI 2.1 so you can get ready for that. I'm sure we won't see too many games that's going to be running 4K 120. I think you're mostly
You'll see 4K at 120.
It may not be native 4K, but I think you'll see somebody try and whip out that.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. But it's not going to be,
Resogun
type game.
Corona.
Excuse me. It's going to be something like that. Yeah, Corona. I got a side story. I was at work. I'm laying down and this fucking pistachio shit is still in my throat. So I can feel it slide down my throat and it's like choking me, but whatever. Anyway, I can tell you a story after once we get to the end of this, but variable refresh rate is really important. The variable refresh rates and A little bit. It can be VFR or VRF or whatever. Yeah, but yeah, I hope that these consoles. I know that's kind of off topic, but I hope these consoles have Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos support, especially because they're both touting 3D audio.
That would be cool for headphones. No brainers. I mean, just based off the fact that they're going to support I'm drawing a blank. What's the new Blu-ray disc standard?
So people
are gonna be watching movies on these bad boys too, for sure. They're definitely, but even if they're not watching movies on here, I mean, gaming for sure.
Yeah, I just think for gaming, it'll really be cool if developers can have their game in 3D audio, and then some, you know, obviously the bigger ones that want to do Dolby Vision, they can, because it's good to have it there. Like, I mean, shit, I think the PlayStation 3 had THX. Yep. Right, like if I'm not mistaken, a lot of people didn't ever even had it, but for people that did and those games that had it, it made it better. You know what I'm saying? So I hope they do that. I hope they take that next step, especially because they're saying they're focusing on audio. So, you know, that's a big one. Like your whole focus is audio. That's, or you have a focus on audio. So go there. Go push it out. Make a console that can really do some audio.
From everything that, again, Microsoft has only been one to confirm. I want to keep saying that so people don't think that I'm playing favorites or nothing like that. It's just, I keep referring back to them because they're the only ones that have confirmed information.
Well, no, that's not really playing. I mean, how can you play favorites on facts? Hey. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't play favorites on facts. It's like, no, bro, they're the only one that said some shit. Like, that's it. Like, you know, like facts. Like, Sony said two small things last year. And other than that, we've had nothing, no win, no word. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Microsoft has kind of been, they've turned up out of nowhere and gave more information. Know what everything so they let us like. Know more, you know. Yeah, we know what everything looked like. We know how many T-flops. And also, the T-flop thing is so missed.
It is. And that's why I really don't pay no attention.
There's some videos online. There's some video online. For people that want to know more about T-flops, I think Digital Foundries did a video explaining how T-flops. So, like, don't get caught up in numbers. Don't get caught up in, this many T-flops is better than this many T-flops. Like, don't do that because I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm missing something, but I'm drawing a blank. I'm tired too. But watch the video Digital Foundry made. I think it was Digital Foundry or somebody else explained T-flops, and they explained it in such a way where you get it, like, because there's a way to make, you can do something with less T-flops, but it does something else better. And it's like weird. I can't explain it.
That was an amazing explanation.
It was like rambling.
I feel educated.
I know. I killed that shit, right? We gonna get it.
When it comes to, I'm really excited about the 120 frame rates. I'm really excited for, because I know a lot of console gamers that don't play PC or maybe haven't seen a PC game running, have seen anything running at higher refresh rates than 60. Again, you still have to have the TV to be able to support it. But I think, every console generation, though, I feel like consoles become more and more PC-like. And we've seen that with the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4 Pro, with you being able to choose, do you want to prioritize your resolution or your frame rates? And I think you're going to see more of that this generation. I think it's going to be anybody who has... an iPhone or Android phone, when you go to your video camera settings for like slow motion, if you will, it's like you could do slow-mo at 720p at 240 frames per second or 1080p at 120 frames per second. I think it's going to be like that when it comes to the frame rate. I think for 1080p, you'll be able to run it at 120, maybe at 1440p, you'll be able to run it at 120, but at 4K, it'll be able to run at 30 or 60. So I think that's what you're going to see in the settings when you play these games.
Well, which is reasonable, though. Which is reasonable, because let's just put this out there to whoever listens or whatever. Every game is not going to be in 4K, and every game is not going to run at 60. So don't think that every game is going to run at 60, because some people are going to choose higher fidelity over.
What's your percentage?
And there's nothing
that you think will run at 4K.
I'm not sure, but I'm
no, for sure.
But
for
I'm sure. okay with that.
But
though.
As we're
I'm
moving
okay
into the next gen,
I'm okay
what's your
with
percentage that will run at 4K? Do you think?
What do you, what do you
or
mean,
or their native or their
like,
pretend?
Because I mean, to be fair, well, it's not pretend. It's just and with variable refresh rate, you'll be able to do it even better. You know what I'm saying? So, and I don't know. I'm pretty sure those techniques over the past like 6 years or 7 years or however long it's been have gotten way better, and they're going to have more resources. So I'm pretty sure it's going to get to a point where we're going to always get full 4K or whatever, you know, because it could save. It, you know what I'm saying? Like it might be certain portions that are running natively, but then it'll drop back to like the full when maybe the action ramps up or something because it they put it somewhere else, maybe put it into particle effects or some shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just making up some shit. Water or something. Like, I don't know. So native 4K, right?
Just like once we're like mid-generation. Yeah.
So like 3 years in or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the percentage? Native. I'd probably say I'm going to go wild. I'm going to say
that's a good
60%.
Number. That's roughly where I was at. I was like 55%.
Yeah, I think I was like 55, but I was like, nah, I can see 60, 65% of the games run native 4K at 60 frames, right? Let's just say that. Let's say 60 frames. 4K at 60. 60% of the games will do it. But then there'll be some experiences where they want to focus more on something else, so they'll drop it to 30. You know what I'm saying? Where they want to focus more on like fidelity of the quality of title. Like, I don't know if I see Grand Theft Auto coming out at 60. It'll probably be one of those things, like you said, like you have a setting where you can, but it'll drop the fidelity of the game. And then, like, if you want to play it with a higher fidelity, like, and it like show you the biometric smoke is more, the hair physics, if you drop it down, or you run a higher frame rate, you lose some of that, right? It still looks crazy, but it doesn't look as good as it is. But yeah, I can see that. I can for sure see something like that, a bigger title, The Last of Us 3 or the second chapter of Final Fantasy Remake, 7 Remake, doing that or something like that.
Yep, I can definitely see that. So next up is Smart Delivery. So Smart Delivery pretty much works pretty much as cross-buy. You buy... let's say Cyberpunk, for instance, on the Xbox One, because that comes out in September before the Xbox Series X comes out. So you're able to buy it on the Xbox One, and then once you buy your Xbox Series X, and once they come out with the Xbox Series X version, next gen version of Cyberpunk, you just automatically get that for free. Now, with that being said, developers have to agree to it. It's on a developer-by-developer basis. Microsoft said that, obviously, they're going to be supporting it. What's interesting, though, is like, how do developers look if they don't support it? Like, that's what's funny to me. I'm curious to see what the verbiage the developer that does not support that uses to specify this is why we aren't supporting that. Cause they're going to have to say something.
I can see why, because I can see some developers wanting to cash in on actually making a remake of a title. They might not just want to patch it, or whatever the patch may be, or whatever smart delivery may be. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? So they might want to actually cash in and see if they can get more money off of it or something. I'm not knocking them for that, because if people are willing to pay for it, if they like the game enough. Now, is there going to be some ones that try it that don't deserve it? Sure, but doesn't mean you have to buy it. You know what I'm saying? And I think there's going to be a lot of the good guys out there, or the guys that, not necessarily good guys, let's not call it good or bad, but like there's going to be a lot of people that use smart delivery. There's not going to be, I think there's definitely going to be, in my opinion, I feel like there'll be more people trying to use smart delivery, especially early on, as like, you know, like kind of like a goodwill thing, than there will be people trying to make remakes. I think we'll see remakes of like maybe older titles that aren't going to get smart delivery because they're not going to patch the game or whatever. They're just going to like, they rather just give you the ported version of a PC version or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, I can definitely see see the latter actually happening. If it's an older game doing it, like that's more understandable compared to like something that's so coming like, out like super near launch. Yeah,
The Last of Us, right? Like, or like, let's say an Xbox title, like probably Assassin's Creed, like a Ubisoft title, right? Like, let's say they don't do that for Assassin's Creed or something, like Assassin, like, hey man, you got to rebuy it. It's like, come on, bro, I just bought this for PS4 or Xbox One. Why are you doing this? You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I'm not gonna play it, or. Yeah, I'm just going to play it whatever condition it comes in. Like, I'm not going to play the upgraded version. Yeah. I'm just going to play whatever I got. Because, I mean, it's going to make those games, it's going to make your older games run better anyway by default. So, if it's like, all right, well, shit, I don't need to play it souped up. I can just play this. It's cool.
Now, one thing that I read, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought that they were bullshitting, and then I listened to the same Major Nelson podcast that I'm telling you guys should check out with the engineer is one of the things that Phil Spencer talked about in this same article is one of the other pillars was four generations of gaming. And it says our commitment to compatibility means existing Xbox One games, including backwards compatible 360 and original Xbox games look and play better than ever before. So I'm like, these games are going to look and play better. Like, is that marketing or y'all for real? I'm like, don't be saying shit and don't live up to it. So when I listen to the Major Nelson.
Well, based on just specs, I mean, if they just leave them whatever, however they do, they're doing their backwards compatibility. If it's just spec based, then yeah, it's just it'll probably run smoother.
So you know,
they'll probably play better.
Yeah. So pretty much going back to the Major Nelson podcast, and again, you guys should really check it out. It's only 20 minutes, and has some really good information in there. The engineer was talking about how their backwards compatible team, pretty much when they're going through the backwards compatibility process of bringing these games forward, he was saying that we could easily just made these games work instead of going through the process of whatever term that he used. But pretty much long and short end of the story, he pretty much said is the way that they rebuilt their backwards compatible titles were to be more PC-like where they are scalable.
Yeah, so basically once you play it, if you have the bigger console, and it'll go to the highest resolution possible.
As fuck.
Yeah.
Like that was some forward thinking on their behalf. Because he was talking about even their Xbox One, their original Xbox games when they were making those games backwards compatible for the 360, he was like, we had that in mind. And I'm like, that was pretty damn smart. So I'm really curious to see what they look like. I'm really curious to see what like an original Xbox or 360 game was going to look like on the Xbox Series X. But, you know, there were some more features announced. Those were the main ones that stuck out to me. Aside one that I'm curious about is their dynamic latency input. They're calling it DLI. And it says, we're optimizing latency in the player to console pipeline, starting with the Xbox wireless controller, which leverages our high bandwidth proprietary wireless communication protocol when connected to the console. So I'm really curious, like, if you're even able to tell the difference and how will that translate on screen? And if you have a TV like these,
well, I mean, with these higher refresh rates, exactly. Because there's latency coming from everything, right? So like, mm-hmm. your TV has latency, your internet connection, the hard drive, like everything creates some kind of latency. So it looks like they're trying to do kind of what Google tried to do with their Wi-Fi controller, is alleviate some of that latency with some kind of protocol that they have that's going to definitely try to make the experience, especially because you're talking about, you're touting 120 frames per second gaming, you know what I'm saying? So like with the controller, you have to have super, super accurate, controller inputs. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing, the controller inputs, like we're still using Bluetooth, that even has latency. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why pro gamers, or a lot of pro guys, don't use Bluetooth controllers when they're gaming. They hook in wired because it cuts out that latency between the controller and the console and what you see on the screen. So yeah, I mean, if this shit sounds tight and if it helps bring that input, I don't know what tech they're using, whether they're using Bluetooth 5 or some proprietary thing, but if it can make your wireless controller feel
instant, that's gonna be dope. That's really cool. And that's what I'm saying, with all this technology, I'm like, man, they really gonna be able to keep this up? I mean, more power to them. I'm definitely excited to try it out for sure. So more power to Microsoft with that. But the other thing that I want to bring up is Call of Duty Warzone, that just released. It's the new hotness. They're saying that they had over 6 million players within 24 hours, which beat out Respawn's free-to-play battle royale game, Apex Legends, which had 2.5 million players within 24 hours. First off, that's what we're not going to do. We're not going to compare this billion-dollar franchise to a new freaking IP that no one's ever heard of before. It's fucking Call of Duty. Are we really shocked that Call of Duty, this billion-dollar, well-known franchise, outbeat a brand-new IP? Like, come on, man. I get we want to compare. I get that's the world that we live in, is creating these comparisons. But we're really comparing Call of Duty, a billion-dollar franchise. First and foremost, I'm shocked that it's only 6 million, with it being Call of freaking Duty, and it's free. I'm actually shocked that it wasn't more than 6 million. Don't get me wrong, 6 million people is a lot of freaking people. But for a known franchise, and it's a free-to-play title, and it's Battle Royale, I thought they would have more than that. But do you feel me on that, or do you disagree in regards to them comparing it to Apex Legends, a brand new IP that no one really knew about?
But Apex really did really well, so I can see why they're doing that.
Now, yeah, for sure. Now that more people know about it.
So I can see. Well, even when it came out, it was at launch, it popped. Like, it was a surprise hit. I think it was so surprising. EA didn't even know.
EA doesn't expect
much.
They
didn't care.
Other than Madden.
Well, no, they didn't even care. You have to think about it. This, it had no marketing. There was no buzz. Like, no one really knew. You knew it was like this thing that you kind of saw a long time ago, like a leak of, and just like it disappeared. And then all of a sudden it just came out. I think it was like a Wednesday. It just dropped. And there it was, Apex, and it was actually like, damn, this is actually really good. It's so good that Fortnite and Call of Duty have copied Apex, because Apex at the bar. So, no, I'm not mad that they did it. I mean, there was no guarantee that the Call of Duty Warzone was going to do good. I mean, we all, people are going to just jump in and play it, but $6 million ain't nothing to sleep.
2.4.
What was Apex's again?
For a brand new
that
IP.
Was amazing.
For sure.
Yeah, but they got to flex on somebody. It's the competition.
If somebody would have been like, "Yo, you want to bet some money that Call of Duty is going to have more downloads than Apex Legends on day one?" I'm gonna be like, "Oh, of course."
That's not a real bet though. Like we knew, just off default, because I mean, even if you have Modern Warfare, you still get the. So I don't know what they count as a download. Are they talking about the free to play the players that download?
Well, to me they would have to count that, because if you're counting
or the update
who already own Call of Duty, it would have been way more than 6 million, because the patch downloads automatically.
But how many consoles because it was
Modern Warfare. Because they only could go off of MPD can only go off of physical copies now. So back in December, I want to say, I remember them and Switch Game were the top selling games of November. And obviously fucking Grand Theft Auto, which is crazy. I don't know who the fuck does not have Grand Theft Auto at this point. This game has been selling, has been among the top selling games of the month, whether it's Sony reporting it from their digital side or the NPD charts reporting it from the, like, that is insane. To like, who does not have Grand Theft Auto at this point? Like, because it's always among the top selling games of the month. Like, how many more people can that game sell to? It's insane. But I still haven't played Warzone yet. Everybody that I've talked to that's played it and the streams that I've seen play it, like, it looks really fun. I want to get in there and check it out. Hopefully I'll check it out this weekend. But I'm looking forward to playing it, though. I like what I'm hearing. I definitely like what I'm hearing.
It's fun. It's more Call of Duty than Blackout was. Blackout, perfect. Somebody made a perfect analogy. Blackout felt like a new title, whereas this just feels like an extension of Call of Duty. So it feels like Call of Duty. Like you'll feel right. It feels like you're playing a multiplayer map. It doesn't feel like there's not like. It has some cool stuff about it. But
for people that don't know, if you do plan on trying it out, or if you want to try it out and think you can't play it because you need to play a PlayStation Plus subscription, you do not need PlayStation Plus to play this game, ever. Not just for a short period of time, ever. You never need PlayStation Plus to play this game. So, have at it. Next up in the news, which was some of the most interesting news to come out this last week, is the fact that GameStop brings former Nintendo president Reggie Fils-Aimé to its board of directors. I'm not sure what that will do. He is a very successful executive. I will definitely give him credit where credit is due, but I mean, I've never seen him make a miracle happen, but I've never seen him do that. So I'm curious as to, number one, why he agreed, and number two, I mean, well, obviously, I'm sure money for sure, but then on the flip side, he picked the right motherfucker, because he's about to get challenged. Because I don't know how you flip GameStop around. The only way, in my opinion, to flip GameStop is to flip its whole business model. Because with selling games being your main priority, it's done, man. Like, too many people are going digital. Too many people. Or they're buying from Amazon.
Well, I think what shot them in the foot is just, you know, right, like most companies that don't adapt, you know, and don't change with the times. Toys R Us, for instance, you know, like some of these Circuit City, for those of us that remember that place, you know what I'm saying? The Good Guys, and I don't know if the Good Guys was regional or not, so I'm not sure. But yeah, those stores didn't adapt. I mean, Mervin.
Damn, you're taking
Montgomery Ward, you know, like the list goes on. I mean, Sears. You know what I'm saying? Like Woolworths. I can keep going on places and stores that don't adapt to the time. Kmart. You know what I'm saying?
Radio Shack.
I'm missing a couple. I mean, but, you know, so forth. Radio Shack, for sure. Radio Shack was like the mecca of nerddom.
Hollywood, like, Video and Blockbuster.
Anybody who was... You Both of them didn't adapt with the time. Blockbuster had an opportunity to buy Netflix. For those that don't know the story, Blockbuster had an opportunity to buy Netflix, and they turned them down. And Netflix was like, okay. And they just kept pushing, and then basically cannibalized Blockbuster. And then Blockbuster tried to go with the whole digital thing and rent it and return it online, and then it was too late. When they could have just bought Netflix, and it would have been Netflix. We would have been watching Blockbuster. Movies would have been getting nominated for fucking Academy Awards. You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, so though what happened with GameStop, they just didn't adapt. You know, they were still swindling us. As consumers, we were getting fucking hoodwinked and bamboozled. You know what I'm saying? You buy a game brand new, you walk out the store, it depreciates $40, but then they sell it for $5 less than what the retail is. So they're selling used titles that they consider used. They're selling it instead of $59, they're selling it for
$54. What?
It's like, what? But you just gave me $22. They're like, yeah, and you're going to like that 22. Are you, you know what? You can use store credit. We'll give you more money for store credit. And it was a big-ass scam, and it just sucked. GameStop just got hella weak. I miss Funko Electronic Land. Boutique. Yeah, Funko Land. I miss my mom and pop. I miss Porn Game Masters.
Oh, my bad.
Whoa, that has nothing to do with games. That's a different type of joystick. Amen. man, we gotta wrap this up, man. We ain't talked about the Coroni. We ain't talked about everything. You gotta go to sleep.
That's funny. Yeah, we pretty much hit everything. I'm trying to make sure there's nothing left. We already talked about AMD. Talked about these consoles are still on track, and they're not. They're not. Yeah. Before we end the show, are we seeing consoles this year?
I mean, it's so early in this whole this new world we're trying.
Good way to put
into.
It.
It's so early to say, yeah, because I mean this thing is going to change us, man. It's going to change the way we move forever, and you know. I mean, I don't think they're going to change the way wet markets work in China, but I feel like they need to look into that because a lot of infectious diseases come from China and Africa, and it's because of the way they have these markets where people are really close to a lot of, like, animals and dead animals, and, you know, like, it's just not sanitary. And no, a lot of those, this is breeding ground for, like, certain shit. But yeah, China is like a hot spot for that shit. Like a lot of those diseases come from China, you know what I'm saying? Swine flu, I think SARS was from China. I think the avian flu was from China, if I'm not mistaken. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I don't know about these consoles, bro. Like, I feel like, you know what? I'm business as usual, man. I feel like by the time October, November, whatever comes around, I feel like we still gonna get a launch of a console. I feel like we're gonna have a better grasp on this whole thing by then. And I feel like that's why it's good that Sony just played in the wing. You know what I'm saying? They're diligently working on it. They don't, you know what I'm saying? And they also wanna see where this thing goes.
Yeah, I feel like if
and that goes for both of them. That goes for both Microsoft and I think they both launch. Because I mean, a lot of the movies that are getting pushed back to November that time, so I feel like it'll be a very, I think if we can get better, if we start seeing like people who start, I mean, first of all, there's hell of recoveries. That's another thing the news doesn't talk about. All they talk about is deaths. They don't talk about the thousands and thousands of people that have recovered, which is not fair, and it causes more panic. But I think once we get a better cap on it in certain places, some good news starts coming out. I think that's when entertainment comes back in a way. You know what I'm saying? People are going to be willing to spend and wanting to have the newest and see the newest and be a part of stuff. Because they're going to eventually shut down travel. So people are going to want to go places and do things. And yeah, I think, you know, a console would be a good thing, especially in that time for people that don't want to go places. They want to just play games or they want to be entertained in that way. So I could see it really booming.
Yeah, I definitely think that if we see the consoles this year, I think it's going to be like in possibly it might be in scarce amounts, like 500,000. So like pretty much like 15 million, but 1.5 million at launch, like worldwide. So pretty much like 500,000 a country. Possibly, because so that's how it was with worldwide. The PS3. So I could see like some, because remember, even with the coronavirus and stuff like that, before this was like as heavy as it is now, there were shortages. We heard about shortages with flash storage and things of that nature. Have they bought already? Have they not bought yet? If they haven't bought yet, then that's even crazier, because normally around about the beginning of the year should have been when they were buying all their supplies. So what's that looking like now? Because a lot of these manufacturing warehouses have been shut down because of the coronavirus. So they haven't been manufacturing these things. So I would think those parts would be even more scarce, because they're even more limited now, because there's hasn't been anybody working on making any. So that's why I'm thinking that, like, with all of that stuff, like looking at all the, like the behind the scenes stuff, I can see if they're just like, you know what, we're launching this year, no matter what, no matter how many consoles we have available, and we'll just try and get new ones out as fast as possible, as consistently as possible. I can see them launching like with 1.5 million worldwide. Good luck. Let's get ready to rumble. But what about Wii 2? Anytime something is scarce, that's when people want it more. Yeah.
Oh yeah, supply and demand. Yeah, supply and demand. Yeah, you create that when people are like flexing. Yeah. Like, oh, look at how
now they have an excuse. Like, now they don't even have to lie about it. Like, yo. Yeah.
No. Corona,
that's why COVID-19, I can really see them using this to their nasty advantage. And the reason why I say that is I can see them being like, yo, because parts are scarce, because we're not launching with that many units, this bad boy is $600 now. Yo, I can see them using that to their advantage.
It's not.
Your hardcore will definitely get it, and I can see them doing something like March of the following year, dropping it by 100.
No, I just feel with this coronavirus,
they got all the excuses. Whatever in the world comes out, and we'll be able to get away with it.
Yeah, but I just don't see any of them. I think that's suicide, and I think they saw what happened with the PS3. And I think they saw what happened with, like, I think the Saturn was really expensive. I think they seen those things, and they're like, no, we can't make that. We can't make those. I think $399 is the sweet spot, but I think people are willing to pay $499. I mean, the Xbox One X sold really well, even for a mid-gen console at $500. You know what I'm saying?
Which is why I can see people paying a new console at $599. I'm just saying, because with the mid-gen console being $400, no more. Like, that's the next-gen one couldn't be $5?
Yeah. No, it's not going to be, because they'll just drop the price of the Xbox One X. They're not going to
fucking make a $600 console. I hope not.
I don't see it. I just think it's not good business. It just won't hit. I think they saw what happened to Sony when Sony was on top, and I don't think neither one of them can afford to do that. I think one will come out $499 and one will come out $399. Now, depending on which one. And I think if Sony's is not as powerful, let's just say whatever that means, or doesn't have as many T-flops. So let's say Sony does come out at the rumored, whatever, 9 T-flops, or whatever the fuck it said it is. Sure, then it'll come out. I can see them going, oh, $399. And then I can see Microsoft saying $499. And then Microsoft comes out later with the console that's cheaper, because that looks like what they're doing with, I think it's Lockhart or something like that. So, like, I think they could do that shit.
Well, I don't know. The other thing that I forgot to mention, I could see it coming out at 500 or 600, is because Microsoft also has that, and it exists right now. If you guys want to get an Xbox One or an Xbox One X, they actually have a payment program. where you actually can make payments on your console pretty much just like your cell phone.
Yeah, but everybody's not going through them to get their console. So
they may consider.
Amazon people are going through their local stores. And no. No. It's not going to be $5.99.
But so the last bit of news before we get out of here is Rainbow Six Siege will be on the PS5 and Xbox Series X at launch. And it will have cross-gen multiplayer. That should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a live service. So, of course, all the live services are coming. You can bet your bottom dollar that Division 2, Destiny 2, probably even Anthem, if people are kind of still playing that. All the games, Overwatch. You can keep going. Any game that's a live service that is going to carry over. That's not a sports title. Every game is going to come over. Because this is the first time we've had games like that on a console. I don't, or anything really, except for maybe like, yeah, I mean, I guess a console, but like, yeah, this is the persistent worlds are now on consoles, you know what I'm saying? So like, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. Like, they gave confirmation on that, so that's dope. Oh no, I want to keep that. None of that. What else was there that I wanted to say before we got? Also with Rainbow Six Siege, they're actually thinking about making that game a free to play. I can see a lot more free to play games coming next year. Because we've had that free to play talk in the gaming industry since the PlayStation 3, and no game, like there's been free to play games since the PlayStation 3, but there was no game that really hit or gave like a good look at what it could look like until Fortnite came. And I think Fortnite is now showing, okay, this is how you can make cash money off of a free to play game between Fortnite and
I give more credit to the mobile phone.
Well right, but on the phone it was more accessible.
You buy them
like on consoles, it still was yet to be a thing. I think Fortnite showed the formula of how to do it on a console.
But it's still the same formula though. It's a game that's free that you didn't pay for, but if you want to buy
I just feel that Battle Pass better, changed everything. Everybody's games. Doing that now. Even Destiny has a freaking Battle Pass. Like, everybody, they changed the game with that one. I gotta disagree with you, man. That Battle Pass, they changed the game with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Battle Pass is different though. The Battle Pass is different than free to play though. Like,
but that's what helped it. That's when Fortnite started to become like the juggernaut that it was, because those emotes and everything else, it was like, and then now you dang near.
Oh, but you were getting those before.
Yeah, you were, but you were. It was very sparse. The Battle Pass, like, the way you would get it before the Battle Pass came out. Oh, trust me, because I was playing Fortnite like
you
crazy back then, and you had your regular ranking. But you would, the amount of stuff you would get, like with the Battle Pass, you damn near get something for every level that you level up.
Sure, but I'm saying you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm not saying it didn't have microtransactions.
I mean, it became a monster because of the microtransactions. So what are we talking about? Battle Pass.
Well, the Battle Pass is where the money came in at, because it was like you were still getting free content.
I'm just in agreement. Listen, the money came in. Listen to me. The money came in with the microtransactions. Trust me, I know.
I'm not saying people weren't buying the microtransactions, but that Battle Pass had people going crazy because people were looking at it like, oh, it's only $10. I could give up $10.
No, bro. People were spending so much money on Destiny before Battle Pass. Battle Pass just heightened what was already happening, but trust me, people were paying big dollars for fucking shit. People was buying llamas
for sure. I mean, microtransactions have always been a thing, but I'm just saying there's a reason why damn near every game has a battle pass now. That's all I'm saying. Every games have always had microtransactions, but battle passes weren't a thing until Fortnite existed. And there's a reason why every game, damn near every game, has a battle pass now. So somebody somewhere must see some type of formula that's like, yo, they were onto something with this, because every game is adding it. And if even if they're not calling it a battle pass, it's pretty much that same formula. They could change the name all they want to, but there's a reason why every single game is adopting that, because every game has had microtransactions. But that whole battle pass thing, like, changed Fortnite itself. It changed a lot in Fortnite when that came out. Because I vividly remember when that came out, and I was like, "This is $9." And I was like, because at first I wasn't gonna get it, and Silver was like, "Oh, let's get it. It's only $10." And I was like, "Okay." And then just that feeling that you get from every time you level up and you're getting new stuff is just something as a gamer. Like, it's a reason why and freaking Call of Duty that people prestige, because after you hit that maximum level and you're not ranking up anymore, you're just like, nothing's leveling up. I'm not getting none of these things on none of these splash screens telling me like how great I'm doing. Like, oh damn it, I need to prestige again. And that's what that battle pass was. That battle pass, it just was addicting. And then hella games just started to adopt it. Like, hella games have it now, and it's just crazy. There's games that I'm even shocked that have it. Like, when I was playing Destiny on the Stadia, when the Stadia first came out, and I was like, Destiny has battle passes? And I don't even think that Destiny calls them a battle pass. I think Destiny calls it something else, but when you look at it, it's like essentially a battle pass. But I'm like, yo, Destiny has this? So that's when I was like, damn. Like, then freaking Rainbow Six Siege came out with their own variation of it. So, but this next generation, I could definitely see free-to-play games becoming more of a thing, especially now when you have a well-known game like a Call of Duty doing it. Excuse me. That when Call of Duty announced they were doing it, I was like, okay. I'm curious to see like what this is going to look like next gen. Like, I'm really curious to see what this is going to look. Cause I want to say, didn't Uncharted make the multiplayer free at one point, or is it free? I can't remember, but I could have swore Uncharted had a free multiplayer at one point. But yeah, man, that's what I think. I think free to play games are going to become, more of a thing this next go around. But, that's all we have this week for you guys, man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Remember to, if you guys have it already, make sure you, if you're listening to us on Spotify or Google Podcasts or, Apple Podcasts, do us a favor and review the podcast, write a quick little comment, help us get the word out. Make sure you guys stay safe, keep your hands clean, don't touch your face. And until next week's podcast, man, we're out of here. Peace.